You're tuned into Desperate, a podcast where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. Retire your apron, kick off your heels, and sit back. Hit it, girls!
Hey, gang. Welcome to Desperate.
Welcome to Desperate.
This is a podcast, if you couldn't tell, where two unwed women take a walk down Wisteria Lane to visit ABC's critically acclaimed show, Desperate Housewives. I am Julia, and I am watching it for the first time.
And I'm Jordan, and I have watched this many times, but, you know, I'm noticing new things. It's been a while, so
she forgot a complete storyline.
I did. I completely messed up a storyline in my brain, so
it was one storyline of one episode. It wasn't, like, the overarching.
Yeah, I know, like, all that premise. Just fine.
Yes. We hope that you're watching along with us. You can do this in a variety of ways that we're going to let you know. You can do it on Hulu or Amazon Prime through IMDb TV. You can snag yourself some DVDs as well. That's next on our list. It's all up to you. It's not required to watch along. You can just listen to us take you through everything. Yep. But one requirement we do have is to, first of all, enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. But second of all, to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, subscribe wherever that's an option.
Yeah.
And then also follow us wherever that's an option too on social media.
For sure.
So that's what we would like from you. We can't make you do that, but it's much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And we also love connecting with you. We love all the messages that you send us. We try to respond to everybody.
Yeah.
We want to make content that you like. So if there's something you hate, we would stop doing it.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, like, we had a fan ask us to rank our housewives,
yeah,
and that was fun.
We loved that. I mean, yeah, not that we're desperate, but we will stop doing anything that you ask us to stop doing.
Yeah.
And we will make stuff that you enjoy. It's been an exciting ride for us. We're only 13 episodes in, and we just, honestly, we were always going to be happy with, like, one listener. Jordan's mom.
Yeah, my mom, OG number one fan.
But there's been a lot, so we really are excited. But today, we're watching season one, episode 13, called Your Fault. I like this.
Very to the point.
I like this already.
Me too.
And if you're new around here, which you might have just hopped in on the latest episode. We try to keep you up to speed. We try to keep it easy to follow as we recap. We do break it down beat by beat, but we are first going to talk about what happened in episode 12, which was called Everyday Little Dream, the most recent episode. And then we're going to do our own desperate deeds. We talk about something desperate that's happened in our lives or anywhere on social media and the news and get you warmed up for the episode of desperation.
Yeah.
Then we go into our recap, which I already mentioned is a pretty in-depth. We cover most everything detail by detail, and then we evaluate the episode by giving it an Apple rating on a scale of 1 to 5 apples. We pick a housewife of the week, the star that shined the brightest there, and then we do our favorite thing ever, fuck, marry, kill.
The best part of the show.
I think we kind of do what would you rather eventually.
Yeah.
But that takes a little bit more time to think of We'll have to prep a little bit more if we're going to do what you'd rather. But if that's something you guys like, we're in it. Episode 12, just last week, it was all about life and death, which I love. I gave it pretty high rankings.
Yeah.
And it was more about, like, the meaningful things that happen in our lives before we die and the dichotomy of life and death. It was pretty interesting. The theme was woven into all the storylines beautifully, in my opinion. But to break down where the women were at, Susan got a little bit worried because Martha Huber is confirmed dead. Everybody knows now. Susan had some flashbacks about how she didn't tell, but Martha Huber found out that Susan burned Edie's house down.
Yeah.
Edie is like a frenemy at this point, was Susan's nemesis, but she got really worried. She's like, you know, Martha Huber's dead, and she has all these journals she found out that had every detail of everybody written in them. And she's like, in those journals is the secret that I burned this house down. I can't have people knowing I'm gonna just, like, lose my life, my whole life. She combats this by coming with a game plan with her daughter Julie to befriend Edie, to bow down and basically come clean or just like make good with Edie, so mm-hmm. that if this ever came out, it wasn't gonna be like a thing.
Yeah,
this goes awry because Edie's smarter than everybody and was like, there's something up with this. Mm-hmm. Why is she trying to befriend me all of a sudden?
Well, Edie's no idiot.
Yeah, Edie was like, you were a cheerleader, right? But while they're on a canoe spreading the ashes at Torch Lake, because that's what they end up doing together, Susan volunteers to spread the ashes. She comes clean and she says, Edie, I burn your house down. And Edie throws the ashes on her, doesn't let her wash it off, drives her all the way back to her house with the human ashes on her.
Yep.
And then Edie's like, I want to be included in your friend group, which is a weird request after all this.
I know. I mean, she's lonely, I guess. Maybe.
And then she is like, also stand in your yard. I'm going to hose you down because Martha Huber's ashes will now be a part of your front lawn.
Yeah.
That's torture, actually.
Yeah, that is torture.
Edie won. That was what was up with Susan. Mike had his own little storyline. We find out more mysterious stuff about him. He was in love with some chick. Boss's daughter, and that's why he's on Mysteria Lane to see what happened to Dimitri. This chick, her name starts with D.
Yeah,
he was in love with her, trying to figure out what happened to her, and they're basically trying to put out another hit for whoever killed this chick. That's what was up with Mike. And then Gabby had a bit of a lighter storyline. Carlos came home and lost his mind after a week in jail. He's under house arrest, just chilling at home, waiting for his KFC after a long day of doing nothing. And while doing nothing, he decides to mess with Gabby's birth control because he wants to have a kid. Because
he's so a monster.
Terribly. He's like, kids are solid. Kids are the go-to. And Gabby's like, you could go to prison like any minute. We don't have money.
So. Yeah, she's like, and I have to model.
Yeah.
What the hell?
She's like, I have to quote unquote work. That's where those two ladies were at.
Our other two storylines, we'll save the best for last. Lynette has a classically boring storyline where she's trying to get into a yoga class and the daycare keeps being full. And after her older kids mess up Parker's hair and she has to shave his head, everyone at the yoga class thinks he has cancer, and she leans into it because that means they'll watch her kids.
She leaned in. She stepped right into the circle.
Yep. And basically this like survivor hugs him and makes him think he's dying. And in front of everybody, Parker asks her, am I dying? And she has to embarrass the fuck out of herself and explain that she was tricking everybody.
Everybody's mouths are like,
they're like, on the floor.
Imagine the most disgusted faces you could think of.
Absolutely. Like, no, it was fucking
like,
horrible.
Like an open mouth frown.
Yes, terrible. So that happened. And then Bree. So Bree is still seeing this pharmacist guy, George. Mm-hmm. Trying to make Rex jealous, and they go on a picnic, and he's trying to like hold her hand, and she's yanking it away, as Julia put it, the ick factor. And
she has the ick.
Yeah, and he gives her a gun, like a family heirloom, this fancy gun. Well, they decide to go shooting. Well, so when he gives her the gun, she does hold his hand. She gives him some signals that she's interested.
I said she gave him green lights.
She did.
There was maybe one or two yellows, but there was never a hard red.
Yes. So they go shooting, and he basically tries to kiss her while she's showing him how to shoot the gun, and his toe gets shot off. At which point, he has like a total incel monologue about never kissing a beautiful woman.
It's so funny.
Nasty.
Incel energy.
Yeah.
He's an incel. We didn't know it when she met him at the pharmacy, but he revealed his true incel self.
Yeah. And so basically Bree, like, they like end things, and Bree admits that like she's had a broken heart and this was, you know, she wasn't at her best. Not her best decision making.
Never listen to a woman with a broken heart.
Yeah.
She tells him.
Exactly. And basically we get a nice little scene of George being crazy and watching tapes of Bree while eating his TV dinner, and it's very creepy. So it was a fun episode, definitely sponsored by the NRA and KFC.
Yeah.
And
the ultimate American lineup.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that episode left us off. Set us up for some good stuff, I think.
I can just regale you guys with my desperate deed.
Okay.
It's related to a couple episodes ago. Your Desperate Deed was about how you and a boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, mm-hmm. or if you want to call him that. He wasn't even your boyfriend.
A man friend.
Yeah.
A guy college, I casually saw.
That. He cried over me a couple times, but he was never my boyfriend. You guys used to go on Tinder and get people to order you pizza.
Yep.
I never ordered somebody a pizza from Tinder, but in college, and we were all poor in college, I shouldn't have been spending money on pizza. I should have never spent money on pizza. I ordered a man that I was seeing. I shouldn't even call him a man. He was not a man. And he was just a man, I was seeing.
A young feller?
A gentleman. Young. I won't even call him a gentleman. He was just my type. He wasn't actually enrolled at the time at school. He had, like, dropped out for that quarter and was, like, hanging around the frat.
Was he freelancing?
Nope. So you can see that my type has really just transferred to my real life. He was not enrolled. He was taking the quarter off, but, like, hanging out at the frat house. And I met him at a party, and we started seeing each other. And things were going really well, I thought, for a college relationship. They weren't at all. And I ordered him a pizza to his frat one time.
So you were the one that got, like, tricked.
He didn't ask me to do
even worse.
Even worse. I was and I've learned my lesson since, you guys. I've learned the golden rule that you never do boyfriend shit, girlfriend shit. Don't do those things for people who are not your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Absolutely not.
Ever.
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 Never.
And I did it
lesson
a lot.
Learned.
that was like the 101. I took 201 and 301 of that lesson. I took it. I actually am still I'm taking 401 now.
You're like, I will have a degree in this.
Yeah. So that's my desperate deed.
Well, my desperate deed is not actually my desperate deed. It is a celebrity desperate deed. Yes, I'm going to roll with this one. Classic Lindsay Lohan. We love her. We love her.
I love Lindsay.
Me too. I grew up obsessed with her. And her issues were very depressing for me as a young person. I was like, I loved her
but
so
when
much.
She was like on cocaine and had the body, like she was so skinny.
I know. She was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, she's had many an issue with drugs and alcohol, and in one of her relapses, she got arrested. You can Google this in the tabloids. There's some funny headlines if you do, but she tried to claim that kombucha was what was in her system, and that's why she tested positive. And the kombucha company was like, there's less than 0.5% alcohol in that. Like, they're like, you're not dragging us down. You're not going to slander kombucha.
It was like GTS. You can buy, that was before the hard kombucha boom.
Yeah. So people didn't really know what kombucha was.
Nobody knew what it was.
Unless you were like in a weird hippie commune. So, so the desperate deed being, low-key, that was a solid move on her end, a desperate move to get the cops to, like, or the reporters, I guess. It's not even the cops at this point. It's, like, she doesn't publicly want people to see that she relapsed. But while it's also tragic, we love you, Lindsay Lohan. Big fan.
We're big fans.
I'm actually a fan of this desperate deed because that was thinking on your feet.
That was
a Gabby move.
I was going to say that was something we would see in the series, to be honest. So I'm all on board. A little bit desperate, but you got to lie when you got to lie sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I would do that if I was a celebrity and I didn't need the world knowing I'd fucking relapsed.
Like, I know she's like in Greece now. She has like a club in Greece, but I heard there is like scandal around that too.
I just want her to be happy. You know, I want her to be happy and healthy. She's had a lot of plastic surgery. I don't know. Last time I saw her,
she's
like,
looking fucked up. Yeah.
It's sad because she was so beautiful.
I mean, she was a teen icon.
Child icon.
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
I loved that movie.
A lesser hit of hers, but a great movie.
I was obsessed with all of her. No. That Freaky Friday, obviously Mean Girls. Everybody liked Mean Girls. Like I was obsessed with her.
Yeah,
I would
Parent
watch anything.
Trap. Classic.
Classic.
They show that at the drive-in in LA sometimes.
It's like, great. It's such a feel-good movie. You know, Jamie Lee Curtis, when she found out she was going to be making Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan,
she fangirled.
Well, they told her it was the girl from The Parent Trap, and she asked which one. She legitimately did not realize that. She didn't know.
Child labor laws.
Yeah.
That's how good of an actor
she
was.
No, but she's good. She convinced everybody that she was two people. Like, she did a great job.
Yeah.
She's that's why it's sad. It's like the Amanda Bynes thing, too. Like, damn.
I didn't like Amanda Bynes as much.
Oh, I did. I was a big She's the Man fan.
Amanda Show.
I liked the Amanda Show, but I liked her like the one where her dad's in England.
What yeah, that? No, because the guy she falls for on the motorcycle, undoubtedly hot.
Oh, my God. I rewatched it recently, and he takes her to a Strokes concert. Oh my God. I was like, they were hip.
I'm about to watch that. This is
so hip. You got to watch it. It holds up. This it's so true. Good.
I went to a Strokes concert like 2 years ago.
I know. I'm like, oh, the Strokes have been like for a while.
Well, we hope that got you warmed up for what's going to happen, because we're pretty stoked after the Life and Death episode to see where they go. So you ready?
I'm buckled.
I'm buckled too. So you guys, buckle up. Lynette's father-in-law, Rodney Scavo, visits the family, and she unwittingly finds out a family secret. Susan is disturbed by Julie's relationship with Zach and tries to intervene. Zach blackmails Paul into staying on Wisteria Lane. At the 11th hour, Rex attempts to reconcile with Bree. John's parents demand Gabrielle for help as he throws away his future in the name of love. You love me. I know you love me.
John Tucker really got to show his acting chops. We got to see some really good angry white dude in this. Nothing's more romantic than a guy like getting mad and breaking shit when they declare their love for
an
you.
An 18-year-old, nonetheless. Yes. Which he aged so fast.
Okay. Pilot, he's 16. Has 2 years gone by?
Doesn't have a bank account. Now he has an apartment. I can't even get an apartment.
Has everyone aged 2 years? Or do they just keep changing his age? Because they were like, the storyline's too much. We gotta
change his age.
Because Julie, like, so
is 14. She mentions that she's 14 this episode because Susan's like,
well, she wasn't 12 in the first episode.
No,
she was 13.
She was 13.
So at least maybe a year and like
a year has passed.
A year and a half.
I guess.
Maybe he was right on the tail end of 16.
I'm going to say he's on the tail end of 16.
And now he's right at the beginning of 18. So I guess it's like it could just be over a little over a year. That's still though. Like, so when did Mary Alice die? Like, how long has Zach been? I mean, I guess I need a timeline. Like, I'm having a hard time
here.
I
think we need to make a timeline where it's like John Roland is aging faster than everybody. It was, wow, you guys. I loved that storyline specifically. Didn't see it coming. I was missing John recently. I had thought about that. I'm like, I haven't seen him in a few episodes. What's going on? And this is exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
We didn't start there, though. We started with our Mary Alice Young voiceover. It starts as Susan is rolling into her driveway, seeing Lynette freaking out on her kids. Just an average Wednesday or whatever.
Yep.
Mary Alice Young says, the look that parents with well-behaved children give to parents with not well-behaved children, it's like that's what Susan's giving to Lynette. It's the look that says, you should learn how to control your kids. After all, it's your responsibility. And Lynette just sort of like shrugs at Susan as Susan goes inside. Mm-hmm. And it was easy for Susan to be smug with a daughter like Julie. And as I have been thinking, Julie is the perfect daughter, the perfect person. I love Julie.
We keep wanting to marry her.
Yeah. She's marriage wifey material.
She is wifey material.
We almost called this podcast Desperate Housewifey.
And it would have been in honor of Julie at this point.
Yeah, at this point, I just think wifey. It's a funny term. But either way, Julie had straight A's, helpful around the house. She was bright, affectionate, and considerate of others. And Susan thought she was the perfect child, but she was going to discover there was no such creature because she looks through the window to see her making out with Zach Young.
Which is very normal, though. Like, Susan, so... Ugh.
I had that happen. My dad... like came downstairs and looked through the window as I was kissing one of my high school boyfriends goodbye for the first time. It was our very first kiss, and my dad like walked up, and I was so hyped because I had like had a crush on this guy forever. But it happens. This is what happens to teenagers.
Yeah.
So Susan shouldn't have been surprised. She like thought Julie was never gonna have sex or what.
Especially like they talk so openly about stuff. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we can get into it, but go ahead and keep going.
And Susan comes in and freaks out. Were you just kissing my daughter? And Zach's like, a little, which I thought was cute. Mm-hmm. And that's when we find out that she's 14. Susan said she's only 14. And I'm like, how old is Zach? Is he old?
I think he's like 16.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I should be going. And she basically like shoos him out. And he says, see you on Friday. What's Friday? Susan says. And Julie's like, he's taking me to school dance. Chill. And Susan's like, yeah, right. He is. No, he's not. And then Julie is like, I know you saw us kissing, but you need to chill. And I'm falling more in love with her every moment. Just the chillest chiller. And Julie takes out the trash and just throws it on the driveway. She's like, I'm not talking to you while you're mad. She doesn't even put it in the trash can. And Susan is harassing her. And Lynette looks over and, like, gives her a look. And Mary Alison says, oh, there's also a look that parents of not-so-well-behaved children give to other parents that say, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
We cut to another intro where Mary Alice Young is saying suburbia is a place filled with responsible people trying to live responsible lives, but even the most responsible people have mistakes in their lives, mistakes they would like to forget, mistakes that come back to haunt them. And this is when we cut to Gabby, which will be where we start. But Gabby looks out the window to see John's mom and dad rolling up.
I thought it was her and a cop at first. FBI agent.
I wasn't even sure, like, what was going on. Yeah. I was thinking, okay, I was just thinking it was somebody she hooked up with in the past. I thought it was actually going to be a completely different storyline.
I didn't recognize the mom, Helen.
No, it's hard to see from that.
Yeah.
But this pops off. Not this particular conversation, but just this whole thing.
The storyline's pretty wild.
Helen and her husband are there to talk about John, and Gabby's holding, like, a big-ass jar of Jif in the front yard. I was like, not necessarily product placement, but I just noticed that.
Yeah.
And she drags them away so Carlos doesn't see. And I started thinking, I'm like, has Carlos not been like, where's John? Where's our gardener?
Well, they can't pay him.
I guess they can't pay him. They were kind of bros. So I was like, he doesn't give a fuck.
He's like, where's my bud?
Yeah. How is he John in weeks? They're there and they're like, we need to talk about John. And Gabby's like, I don't return his calls. I'm ghosting him. I swear it's over.
Yeah.
And they're like, actually, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
That's gross. Let's not talk about it. John got a scholarship and said he's turning it down to expand his gardening business. And I am immediately like, oh my God, they went there. They fucking went there.
Yeah.
And I like that he has an entrepreneurial spirit. I can't say it. It's a mouthful.
Mm-hmm.
He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Young, budding. And I'm just like, I meet entrepreneurs every day, don't I?
Entrepreneur, the best label on a Hinge profile.
Yes. And Gabby's like, why is he doing that? And Helen's like, I don't know. Do you? That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Husband's like, sorry that my wife's being rude to you. She's still mad you fucked our son. But
he should care, but whatever.
Yeah. But also, can we talk about him for a second? And Gabby's like, no, I can't go talk to your son. We need to keep distance, because they're over there like kind of asking her to talk some sense into John. And I'm like, you guys had no other outlets.
Okay, but if I were Gabby and the people who could have me put away asked me to do anything,
I would
just fucking do it. She's like, I have my own personal stuff going on. I'm like, you're about to have a lot worse stuff going on if you don't just do this.
And Helen is like, shut up. We haven't gone to the police. And Gabby changes her tune real fast.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she gets a nice to meet you from the husband, I noted. He's kind of being way too nice.
Way too nice.
Then Gabby goes over to John's quote-unquote house, we'll call it. The kid who called Daniel slutty as a compliment answers the door, I think, with a dumbstruck face.
Yeah.
He starts looking at her tits. He does the up-down. It's disgusting. And she's like, is this the right address? Does John live here? And this guy, like, doesn't even answer. Next thing we know, he does live there. She's in his room. He's drinking what looks like a room temp natty ice out of a beer, out of a cup. And he's like, I'm so glad you're here. I was going to call you again tomorrow, although you clearly don't want to talk.
Also, what the fuck is his room? There's like a fireplace in there.
I noted the exposed brick.
I was like, this is a nice apartment. Like, what is happening?
I was like, how can he afford this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had the same thoughts. It's so nice. And he's, like, cleaning up toys from his bed. Like, they're trying to make it look super juvenile. She goes, sorry, I haven't returned your calls. And he's, like, just happy to see you. He's, like, a little puppy, like, wagging his tail. I heard about Mr. Sleeves. It sucks that you had to take a job. And she's, like, I'll survive. And John is trying, like, Jordan, you might know, when a guy is, like, trying to create a moment, like, really hard, like, just trying to create a moment.
Yeah.
And you're, like, there's no moment here.
You're like, read the room?
Yeah, he's trying to do that. He says, come here, and gives her an amorous hug. And there is a little bit of chemistry. But then he leans in and she's like, whoa. She leans back.
She's like, I'm not trying to go to prison.
She does the limbo.
He's 18 now, yeah, though. She, that's true.
She does the limbo. Yeah, that's why she's not into him anymore, though. Not trying to kiss him.
My jaw just dropped. You can't see me, but my jaw just dropped. You're right.
18, baby. She's over it.
Oh, no.
She swerved. She limboed.
She swerved hard. She pulled a brief on the last episode.
Yeah,
she,
these girls are not trying to get kissed.
No.
And it's, yeah, the hardest swerve I've ever seen. And she's like, hang on. That's not why I'm here. I heard you're going full-time with your gardening business, and my lawn looks like shit.
Yeah.
No. She said, what about college? And he said, I just decided not to go. And she's like, but why, John? And he says, an opportunity presented itself, and I needed to start making money. For the longest time, all I had to offer you was my heart, and I am holding my breath. This can't go anywhere good when you start a sentence with that. All I had to offer you is my heart. It's like, baby, your heart wasn't that good.
Yeah, it's like, that's not gonna, what are we can't live off of that.
Yeah. And Mr. Solis, I'm like, stop calling him that.
I hate when he does that. Like, oh, Mr. Solis, ew.
Gave you the security that I couldn't compete with him, and I'm like, it was never a competition. Stop. It's making me more nervous as we go along. And he says, yeah, now he can't offer you security and I can, and I can take care of you, we can be together. And, like, it's just not okay. And he whips out a ring. He proposes to her. I want to throw up.
Is he on? Okay.
Is he on drugs?
Maybe. Probably. That's the only thing I can fathom. Why on earth would he think that she? Okay. Even if she was going to leave Carlos, she'd just go find a richer, like, another rich guy. She's hot enough. She doesn't need to do this.
He has a warped perception. He's not thinking straight. And you can see it in his eyes. I have to give it to this actor, Jesse Metcalf. Mm-hmm. Like, he is playing.
Yeah, I really like he's great.
He's actually
plays it well.
He's giving it, like,
I buy it.
The crazy eyes. Like,
love struck.
I just noted that a few episodes ago, he was, like, rather chill. He was dating Danielle. And now he's just like, marry me.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a road of problems ahead of him with women.
Or he's gonna become a major fuckboy now. Like, after this man's traumatized, and now every woman he ever dates is gonna have to hear about how he was traumatized. Sign She's just brought therapy. Another fuckboy into the world.
If we had a better help sponsor,
oh my this god, is where yes. we would plug it. This is where we would plug it.
We don't.
Every yeah, better help sponsor us.
Yeah,
please.
There's a lot of mental health issues yes. on this. This is concerning, and Gabby's jaw drops and she doesn't say anything. Next time we see her, Gabby is driving home after hopefully saying no to the fucked up proposal, and she looks extremely defeated, and Helen rolls up and she's like, where is it? Where's the ring? My grandmother's ring. And Gabby's like, I was caught off guard. I'm giving it back. And I'm like, so you took the ring?
I think that's bizarre. I think the scene that's coming up where she does give it back, that all should have happened in one scene.
Yeah, you should have never taken the ring. You were never planning to say yes, so what did you say, Gabby? We don't know. And
And it's weird that they didn't show the
response. I mean, deleted scene, what's up?
Yeah.
So Helen's just threatening her, and the husband's there, and it's like, get in the car. And Gabby's like, I'm not leaving my husband to marry your son, obviously, dude. Mm-hmm. He's 18.
Yeah.
I only want 16-year-olds. And he's like, that's wise. And she says, I'll return the ring tomorrow. And then she's like, why are you so nice to me, though?
This seems gross.
Concerning. This is the most disgusting thing to come out of it. John's a big boy. Gross. So whatever happened between you two is his mistake and yours. And I'm like, your son is 16.
He's emotionally not prepared to handle an adult woman. And she took advantage of that.
She took advantage of him. And nobody's acting like this. If this was reversed, oh my God, that guy would
exactly.
be in prison so fast.
Bro, this is like, it's like the Rex thing where it's like these men, these like adult men on this show, like they lean into every stereotype of the white dad.
It's not okay. And that's not where it's done being gross, you guys. He says, Gabby says, I understand if you hate me a little. And the husband has a monologue for some reason. This could have just stopped. Yeah, nobody cares about this husband. But he goes, I played by the rules. Never cheated on a test. Never missed a curfew. And he says, I can't help but think how wonderful it would have been to make a mistake like you. And I'm like, oh.
Is he hitting on her?
Yeah, kind of.
That's gross for so many reasons.
I've had like weird old men say shit like this to me at the gym. Not like this gross, but just like you could tell they're like, oh my God, like, but you're so beautiful.
Or like what guys are like, if I was 10 years younger, yeah. I'm like, I still would not.
I'm like, I still would never be interested. Yeah. You're not that interesting.
Fuck, no.
You even just said that you're boring. You played by the rules. Like, that's why this it's just gross. I hate it. I don't know if he's hitting on her, but he's also like validating her behavior, mm-hmm. which is fucked up. It's like, it's okay that you fucked my son because I vicariously fucked you through him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, not caring about the fact that his son clearly has emotional issues.
Yeah, your son is losing his mind.
Yeah.
And Gabby's like, that's sweet, question mark. And he says, it's a little sweet, but I'm also just middle-aged. And I'm like, ugh, gross. All, like, men are gross.
He's going to go home and, like, masturbate thinking about her.
Yeah, disgusting. Mm-hmm. I hate him. I hate him. I feel bad for John. I just hate his dad.
Yeah.
So Gabby
returns. His mom's the only rational person on the show, and they're painting her like she's a crazy bitch.
Yeah, they're being like, she's being so dramatic. It's like, no, she should seek justice for this.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Teenagers don't make any sense. We were teenagers. I was a teenager once. You were. Everybody was a teenager. Think back on the shit you did. It didn't make any sense. You thought you were in love a million times. You were not.
Oh, yeah. No, I was, like, obsessed with my boyfriends in high school.
I thought I was in love, like, every day.
Like, stop. Everything was drama.
Yeah, from boys and girls. Yeah. So, hats off to Helen, John's mom.
Yeah, no, she's rational as fuck.
So, Gabby goes to return the engagement ring to her former lover. Mary Alice Young says it was met with a measure of enthusiasm, and we see John breaking a glass against his fireplace, and he's screaming at her, you love me. I know you love me. This doesn't
He's literally he's throwing a temper tantrum like a baby.
I was busting out. I was laughing so hard.
Nothing is more convincing that someone should marry you than you fucking throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, this will definitely make her love me. Yeah. You love me. He's just screaming at her.
Fucking crazy.
First of all, if you're telling somebody that they love you, they probably don't. You love me.
Horrible.
He says it doesn't make any sense. And Gabby says, love isn't enough. Where would we live? Here with your roommates? The only decoration is a bong in the bathroom. And I did like that line.
I like that line too. No.
And he says, we could get a place of our own. And she's like, how? You and I both make minimum wage, probably. And he's like, we'd be poor at first, but we'd be happy. And she's like, I've done that. And there's not a lot of happy. And he's like, your husband, he's listing off everything. He's throwing Hail Marys left and right. Your husband's going to jail. You want to stick around for that? And she's like, every once in a while, I want to do the right thing. And he says, Mrs. Solis. And I'm like, stop. Again, Mrs. Solis, I love you so much. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
And Gabby, I do appreciate what she does here, which is the tough love, like, pretend, you know, she basically is like, it was nothing. Yeah. She's like, honestly, no.
You're a sweet, dumb toy. You might as well go to college because you and me have no future. And he cries and shuts the door and goes to his room. And she kind of cries too. John doesn't know what love is, and I feel bad for him because he thinks he's going to like have this talk. This is toxic. Mm-hmm. This is gross. Gabby did the right thing. And for once, I have a little bit of respect for her.
Yeah.
Not for once. I've had some respect in the other episodes, but like, in terms of this, there's a storyline with her and John that doesn't make me want to go throw up.
No, I am happy to see the show kind of being like moving away from this.
Yeah.
They're like, he's 18 now. They're done. Yeah. Like, we got to move on.
I don't know. I'm going to be sad when John is no longer around in the episodes. And I feel like it's coming. I don't know. But I will miss John. He's a bit much.
You're in for some surprises.
Okay, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. But that's their storyline. It was my favorite just because of Jesse Metcalf's acting.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I really like him.
You love me. So there's that.
So we can jump in to... Do you want to jump into Lynette?
Yeah, we can do Lynette because it's a heavy hitter too.
I actually liked this storyline a lot. One, because Ryan O'Neal's featured in it, and I don't know if anybody's seen What's Up, Doc, one of my favorite movies. He's so fucking hot in it. Not as hot here. He did not age.
Not a hottie.
Great. So basically, this story, I'll just kind of go through the big points, and then we'll talk about it. But Tom, which haven't seen Tom in a minute. So, I mean, I guess it's been two episodes, but yeah. I like Tom.
I like a Tom feature.
Yeah. So Tom rolls up with his dad, so Lynette's father-in-law, and he's in town on business and is going to stay with them. And they seem to have a warm relationship, but when he arrives, Parker's on the roof and Lynette can't get him down.
Okay, this scene was insane to me for some reason. Yeah. Just like the stark cut to it was like caught me off guard. I was like, this is insane that he's up here.
And so Rodney, I guess is his dad's name, he basically taunts Parker by calling him like a little girl. Like, you're not a little girly girl, are you? Yeah. To get him down. And Lynette's like, what the fuck? And Tom's like, how do you do that? Because he like missed it. And Lynette's like, oh, just sexism.
And I noted that he did a sales pitch using gender roles to harass the child off the roof is what I said.
Yeah, it was really weird and gross, but whatever. I felt for Lynette with her disgust in that scene. Cut to Lynette is taking her kid to go play softball or baseball, whatever the heck. And they forgot his mitt. So they go home and she catches Rodney. Rodney has a wife, by the way. He is married to Tom's mother still. But he's having an affair, I guess, with this woman. And
Lois McDaniel.
Yeah. Who?
Old broad name. That's an old broad. Yeah, you don't mean
that's an old broad for sure.
Lois.
So they're clearly getting it on.
Yeah, Lynette, there's like buttons undone. There's, yeah. Oh, the kid brings the stocking in.
Yeah.
He says, mommy, I found this. And it's her stocking.
She's like, must have fell out of my purse.
Yeah.
But he tries to like say that she's like a business associate, which like, okay. And so Lynette and him like kind of awkwardly run into each other like the following day. And she like confronts him about it. And he's like super nonchalant about it and like acting like she's being over the top. And one of his things is he's like, oh, I've been on the road all these years and I have kids and the love just fades, which like, okay, like that's exactly what Tom's doing. So cool. Like that would, mm-hmm. I'd be terrified hearing that from my husband's father who's doing the same shit, but.
You drift apart.
Yeah.
And he's Lynette's just, like, that's irresponsible. And he says, I stayed married to a woman I don't love because God.
Which was weird.
Yeah. I was like,
I'm like, God also doesn't like adultery. So
another Christian plug.
And then she kicks him out. She's like, you're not staying. Like, we don't see it happen, but he's on the curb. And Tom rolls up in his car, which I just want to know is like that weird gold color that was popular like for like 2 years in like 2004,
it
2005.
Turned into a mustard color.
Yeah. It's like super weird. But he's like, what the fuck? So he goes inside and Lynette's like, had made him a drink and she's like prepared to tell him that his father's having an affair and she doesn't think he like is aware. She, you know, tells him and he doesn't really react, and which kind of throws her off. And he basically is like, oh, well, my dad's been like doing this for years. Like, I thought he'd stopped because he was old.
Yeah. He said he's kind of impressed with his dad. And yeah. Like, you're impressed.
His reaction is not normal. And Lynette gets, they get into it, and he, next thing we know, he's sitting on the curb with his dad. And one of my favorite parts is Rodney's like, should we kick the door down? And like, Tom's like, yeah, good luck with that. Like, yeah. I'm not fucking doing that.
Let me
shit.
Know how that works for you, buddy.
Yeah. So then later,
they're in bed. After yeah, this, they're in, and okay. Lynette that is the next scene. Tom for overreacting,
but she like clearly wants to go into it more because she's like, well, I just felt. Never mind. And she like rolls over.
I'm going to bed.
I'm like, but he's like, just say it. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And she basically brings up like how it kind of makes her insecure and like that he reacted that way. And Tom's like, well, I'm used to it. Like, I've known for a long time. And she's like, well, why didn't you tell me? And it kind of boils down to her basically saying, like, if you ever did something like that, I would divorce your ass. Because he's like, oh, my mom made peace with it. She's like, I would not make peace with it. I would divorce you, take your kids, and you never see us again. And then it cuts to, like, the most ominous thing of all time, which is Tom.
It left a bad taste in my mouth. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So Tom's, like, downstairs in the middle of the night talking to his dad, and he basically says, like, I have a secret, and I did something. And if Lynette ever finds out, like, I'm fucked, basically.
Yeah, so I said Tom is not number one, I guess, question mark.
So, yeah, they don't tell us yet what it is. We don't get the reveal, but fuck, it's set up for something good. And I'm just like, damn, yeah. I want to know more.
I just want to point out that there's been a lot of examples of men not being able to apologize on this show. Mm-hmm. Like Rex in a couple episodes. And then this guy, Rodney Scavo, can't apologize and makes himself the victim.
Well, and so this was actually a really interesting storyline because I think it brought up a lot of, you know, kind of like interesting points on like different generations' views on things.
Yeah.
Because like he's like that old school businessman where like that's kind of expected that you are like having affairs.
Yeah.
No, for sure. And like his wife is just, she's at peace with it, which is basically like she probably couldn't leave him because like women couldn't work up until like a couple decades ago comfortably.
Yeah.
And like, I think Tom's reaction, while he could be nonchalant, I think it's weird that he's not understanding why that might freak his wife out.
Yeah, that would make me lose my mind.
Yeah, like, and I think he's being, like, really fucking aloof. Like, I'm like, she's clearly, like, disturbed by this. Like, can you, like, explain yourself a little better or explain the situation a little better? Because he's acting like she's crazy for even questioning it. And I'm just like, dude, like, you're a traveling salesman. You guys have a lot of kids. Like, how do you think this looks?
Also, yeah, there's a statistic, and I don't know the exact percentage, but, like, if you have a parent who cheated, you're more likely to cheat. Like, and there's, like, a specific percentage of people that's, like, tied to. But
yeah.
So, yeah, as Lynette, I'd be losing it. And also, just, yeah, he doesn't even have, no, there's just no reaction, and things change. And so I think, yeah, it is representative of the generations, because she's like, I leave you. And I don't think Tom expected that almost.
No. And I also think, though, that, like, when they're in bed and she's, like, expressing that how she feels about it, he still isn't really that.
He's scared.
He's like, yeah, okay. And lays down and reads his thing. And I'm like,
yeah,
you should discuss this more.
Yeah. You must have had feelings about it at some point. Mm-hmm. So at least talk about how you felt at one point.
Yeah. Like, he could have been like, oh, yeah, when I found out, like, I also was very upset by it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I can't make my dad not cheat. You know, he could have at least reasoned why he's not doing anything about it. Not that there's anything he can really do, but he did kind of mirror his dad where he was just like rationalizing it.
Yeah.
And like, because his dad was like Lynette acting the way she did. Also, okay, he shouldn't be bringing his mistress to his son's house where like the kids could.
Yeah.
Like, that was gross. That honestly was more offensive to me than him just being a fucking schmuck and fucking a bunch of people with his wife, not, you know, it not respecting his wife.
An interesting choice. Yeah. If you're cheating, maybe just be better at it. Like,
go to the fucking lunch money motel.
Yeah, lunch money. Oh my gosh. He doesn't need it anymore. He has an apartment.
We should open a motel and call it the lunch money motel.
Merch coming out soon.
Yeah, it's lunch like money motel. Oh my god, yes, I actually love this.
Yes, he should have brought her to lunch money motel. Mm-hmm. We know that there's one in the area.
Yeah,
you don't do it at your son or daughter's house. Oh my gosh, if my parents did that, I'd be pissed.
I just feel like you shouldn't cheat in a situation where your family doing normal things would like walk in on you.
Yeah.
It's one thing to, like, follow someone and catch them, but to have an affair and have it be somewhere where, like, it's like Gabby and John, like, fucking in the house in the bathtub where it's like, you can't get out fast enough.
Yeah, stop bathing together like that.
Terrible. They weren't even in the guest bedroom.
No, they were in the living room.
Like, dude, a closed door, anything. He's like, I thought you'd be gone all afternoon. It's like, shit happens.
It was wild. Well, next I think we can cover Bree. Mm-hmm. We catch up with Bree. If you remember, she left George, kind of.
Yeah.
But she maybe isn't over Rex, but they're still getting the divorce because the lawyers are at the house discussing the division of the assets. And the divorce is on. Bree and Rex are not speaking, and the lawyers are just going back and forth, which I really liked. Rex interrupts them and is like, what are we doing here? I don't want to do this. And the lawyers are like, we're like doing your divorce. And he's like, no, I'm talking to my wife. Why do why are we doing this? And maybe we should talk this over before it's too late. And I'm like, this is such an egregious lying because he fucked Macy Gibbons. Like, he fucked a girl that she knew. It's too late. Bree is like thinking about it for a second, and she's like, I would like the country club membership because Rex sucks at tennis and he hates buffets. And she like continues negotiating.
This is a pretty stark flip-flop for him.
Yeah,
I get that he had almost died, but like the fact he's just so like
you never want it till it's gone.
Well, and okay, so for me, like with Rex, it's one thing to have an affair. He had an affair. That shit's terrible, disrespectful. What upsets me more is how he would speak to Bree in the first, like, 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Like, telling her, like, I can't wait for you to be out of my life.
Oh, my gosh.
He
was
so
nasty. Oh, yeah. If you were my mom, I'd smoke pot, too.
Yeah. He was a fucking jerk to her. Like, mean. He was mean to her. Disrespectful. Degrading. Like, and so for him to turn around and just be like, it was an affair. It's like, no, that wasn't all you, like, that was not the only problem. Like, yeah. You were super fucking mean to her. So it's like, it's such a stark, like, turnaround. And if I were Brie, I'd be like, you only want me because you almost fucking died.
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Like, that's all that matters. It's not even about Brie.
I feel like Brie's being pretty understanding by even, like, letting him live at the house.
I would have kicked him to the curb. I would never get back together with someone that was, like, the way he spoke to her in front of the principal when Andrew got in trouble. Like, he was being so disrespectful in public.
Always. Yeah. He did it all the time to her.
He has no respect for her.
So he is, like, leaning into this idea now that they're going to stay together. Mm-hmm. And then later Rex walks into the kitchen and he tries to talk to her. And she's like, I'm not talking to you. And he's like, you didn't like the settlement talks. And he got the good china. She's like, you only got that because you know I love it. He's like, well, you're never going to use the timeshare in Aspen. So they're doing this. They're, like, taking things that they know is going to hurt each other. Mm-hmm. He says, isn't divorce fun? And Brie is like, shut up. Like, take your medication. And he's reiterating that he would fire his lawyer tomorrow. I give you my word. And she's like, it's too late. And he can't understand this for some reason. He goes into this monologue about forgiveness, like, if you could find a way to forgive me. And she's like, I don't want to forgive you, I just want revenge. And if we could level the playing field, maybe I could find a way to, like, forgive you. Which I think is, like, you shouldn't even be negotiating with him about this, because he's a cheater and a liar
and a jerk.
And just they never change. Yeah, and just an asshole.
Yeah.
She's like, I should have an affair, question mark. Like, this is how it ends up. Like, I should have an affair. He's like, with who are you gonna have an affair with? The dopey pharmacist. And I'm just, like, not feeling this. And I mean, also find it hard to believe that they haven't fucked this whole time.
Well, he didn't want to go near her.
Oh,
and now
true.
He probably can't right now with his heart condition. So
can't fuck. Guess that's off the table.
Also, though, if I were Brie, like, first of all, I've been saying this since, you know, episode one. Like, the way he talked to her, I was like, just walk away, Brie. Like, he doesn't care about,
like,
you.
Leave him.
But, like, him having a fucking heart attack while getting his dick sucked by someone else, like,
symbolic.
I'm just like, not like, it's, I wouldn't want to fuck somebody that did that to me either. Like, I
I
would dry right up, like, the opposite of wet for that.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of stories of people's partners cheating on them, getting STDs, things like that, and I'm like, and I know people who have stayed with them and I know people who have not. I can't explain it. Some people just can't get past it. But I'm like, I would leave.
To each their own. Like, some people can move past that, but
yeah.
But, like, for Brie, like, traditional marriage is very important to her. And he broke, like, one of the biggest vows.
In her book, yeah. Which we're going to learn more about, because Brie is sad sitting at the diner alone.
This scene was wild. Holy
if
shit.
If we were confused about where Brie stood, we now know.
Yeah.
And I actually learned some lessons from this, and I'll recap them at the end. But George is at the diner, too. And he's fondling a knife not too far away from her. He walks up to Brie. What are you doing here? And that's what she asks him. And he says, was walking outside, saw you through the window, and just thought I'd come in. And I'm like, don't.
What, like, midnight?
Maybe don't. Yeah.
I'd be like, what were you doing here? Like,
yeah. And she's like, the coffee sucks here, and I just need to get out of the house. It's the only place open. And it's like a share. I don't know if you remember Sherry's. Did you ever have a Sherry's?
Oh, hell yeah.
This is what I was, like, imagining. It's a Sherry's, an octagon-shaped building.
It was, like, the only place in my hometown that was open after, like, 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's Sherry's. And George is like, I'll leave you to it. And this is a game, though, and it works out because she invites him to have a cup of coffee. She says, want to have some bad coffee with me? And I'm like, stop flirting with him.
Yeah, their whole thing is...
They hang and talk, and she talks about college, and I'm like, oh, girl.
She talks about how she met Rex, and
yeah,
it's like...
I'm like, bad look. You don't tell your new lover, not even lover. You don't tell the guy that really likes you about your old lover.
The guy that you're, like, might use for your little affair.
For your affair. And she says, we met at a meeting of the Young Republicans.
And they stayed up all night talking about illegal immigration.
No, stop.
I was like, big government, illegal immigration, and what was it? Gun control. I was like, oh, and she liked his opinion on the death penalty, which I wonder what it was. Yeah, like, oh my God. I was like,
not okay. Yeah, she went in. It left me with all those noises I just made for you.
Makes sense now that they covered up their sons, like,
for sure, his bright future, because he's white. Get out. She just said, even after the betrayal, I knew that we'd be together, because, like, I knew I'd marry him the night that I met him. He's like, what are you going to do? And she's like, what do you think? And she's like, I shouldn't have asked you. That was insensitive. And George says a surprising answer. He's just like, does he love you? Is he a good person? And if this yes and yes, besides the adultery, yeah, you should forgive it. But I'm like, what the fuck?
I think George's approach, though, is to play the long con. Like, he knows that if he's just, like, there for her and gives her, like, because he knows that if he tells her to leave him, like, she's not obviously going to take that advice, because it's, like, biased. But for him to give that advice, now she's going to, like, trust him more and open up and lean on him more.
Yeah, and Bree is like, you're a special man. You deserve a special woman. He's like, I think so, too.
As he's, like, and I'm like, under Bree, the table.
Yeah, the bar is pretty low here. Yeah, he's clenching his fists like Arthur. Like,
the meme. It's the Arthur meme. Like,
he clenches those fists. But the next thing we see, Bree is at home, sees Rex on the couch. She heads upstairs quietly, but Rex is awake, and he notes that motherfucking time. Mm-hmm. Last thing we see, Rex is rolling into the pharmacy with swagger, approaching George. He's like, what's up? In my script here. And George is like, yeah. And he says, you seen my wife lately?
Which, like, I thought Rex wasn't worried about him, but clearly Rex is a little worried about him.
And he says, yeah, the Maple Diner. And I'm like, a Sherry's, okay. And he said, all we did was talk, and we're just friends. And he's like, if you ever do get a vibe from Bree, verbatim. And I'm like, whoa. That she's interested in more than friendship, I'd be careful. She's only using you to, like, even the score with me. And George is like, she'd never do that. She's a beautiful, classy lady. And that those types of women end up with doctors, not pharmacists. And I'm like, I'd date either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a beautiful, classy lady. I don't know, but I'd date whatever.
Yeah, no. Doctor, hey, pharmacist. No shame on being a pharmacist.
Yeah, nurse, like, whatever.
Anybody doing, like, a job that they make a decent wage, you know, good hours. Yeah. Like, what? Let's not shame a pharmacist.
Yeah, he's shaming the pharmacist. George says Bree's beautiful, but she's not very perceptive. She thinks you're a good person, and I know you aren't. Rex leaves, and George, like, switches the scripts, we assume, for something dangerous.
Yeah.
Hurtful. The one thing I learned from this storyline is that you should date somebody who has views like yours, even though I do not agree with their views.
Yeah.
Even though it was insane to me. Yeah. I was like, no.
Sounds like they're a match made in heaven.
It really does. I'm like, man, if I had some, like, interests in college and, like, went to something and, like, saw somebody as passionate about them as me, like, that's what you gotta do, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think that's a solid standpoint to take. That's a solid approach. So yeah. That's what I did learn.
Yeah,
the storyline. Sure. Also scared of George. Very scared of George. Okay with George.
Dumping out his pills like that, I was like,
I like the change from the incel energy, but it's still crazy energy. It wasn't as incel.
It's one to the other. Yeah.
Not okay.
No,
so
this man's on edge, and he's about to crack.
He's scary. And then the last one we have is Susan.
Susan's story meshes with Paul and Zach, and it is a wild ride.
Yeah, a lot happens.
A lot fucking happens. Starting with Susan's concerned about, like we talked at the beginning of the episode, she's concerned about Julie. Kind of, you know, Julie is 14, which I kind of guess that's like the brink of like your kids becoming a young adult. So I guess
she has a sex drive.
Yeah, like it's a transition period for like both as a parent and as a child. So I kind of, like, I get why, but Susan's just manic. And I put in my notes that, like, whenever Susan tries to, parent, she's just bad at it. Like, she and Julie work better when they're, like, kind of buddies. Because Susan's, like, she goes from treating Julie like an adult most of the time.
Yeah.
To, like, all of a sudden being, like, way crazy overprotective.
It's never, like, in between. No. It's one or the other.
And that's kind of what this, like, granted, she's kind of right, but also, like,
she's a little too worried. I think she's worried. Like, if you're, okay, she starts off, she meets with Paul. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're too worried if you're meeting with their parent.
I remember, so I grew up religious. And my first, like, high school boyfriend, my parents and his parents, we all went to a coffee shop. so they could all discuss what the rules were at the houses. Which my parents weren't as strict. They were kind of like, my parents were just like,
you guys can't see, but I'm frowning in silence. Yeah.
My parents were kind of like, I mean, just like the door should, we don't want the door closed in the bedroom. Like, that was pretty much it. Well, his parents were like strict as fuck. Like, they were basically one of his siblings always had to be with us. And I was like, okay. So the like Susan Paul showdown, I was kind of like, been there, seen that.
Yeah, I did have my very first boyfriend. His mom was psycho. And she came over to our house, like not when I was there, but she came over. My dad even thought she was psycho. And she was like screaming at my dad about how she's like, Jake and Julia are having sex. And my dad was like, they're kids. Like, they're 16. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. Picture your dad, though. Like, oh, my God. Because he gets that little smirk on his face when people talk like that. And I'm just like.
Yeah, it didn't go over well for that lady. Not in a bad. My dad was just like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to stop them. You have to keep them apart. Like, she was kind of like, break them up, like keep them apart. She was crazy.
Jesus.
We weren't, I mean, obviously we broke up. He's still my boyfriend. Yeah.
You're like, we're married. Yeah. I'm pregnant. Forget everything I said last episode.
Yeah, but that's essentially what Susan does. She pulls a crazy mom move. Not as crazy as those two stories, but she meets up with Paul and he's smirking. He has a little smirk.
Mm-hmm.
And almost holding laughter in. And she's like, they were kissing at my kitchen table. And he's like, you must have shocked the hell out of them. He's very metered. And she's like, things are going to get out of hand. And Zach's listening in. And Paul's like, what would you like me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I want to know that you're concerned. And that if they're here, they're supervised. And she says, stop looking at me. Like, I'm crazy. And he's like, we sold the house. So it doesn't matter. And Zach busts in.
Yeah.
He's like, what, Dad? You didn't tell me. He said, when I came back from the asylum, you said you reconsidered. He's like, I wanted to wait till it was official, but you need to take your medicine. And he's like, stop acting like I'm crazy. And they get into a fight in front of Susan.
Mm-hmm.
The side note, the sweater Paul's wearing in this scene is doing work for him. He looks kind of hot in the sweater.
I thought he was actually very hot in this scene, and I was like, what's wrong with me?
No, I did too. I was like, is it the sweater?
The way he's smirking all of a sudden, and he's just being like, Susan, like, we just gotta let them be kids.
The chill dad.
He's like, got like his scotch or whatever. I'm like, okay, first it's sweaty Mike, now it's this. I'm like, sweater Paul, like, what the hell?
I didn't know you felt that way.
I did. No, I was like, I was like weirded out. Like, I was watching the episode and I was just like,
no, the sweater was doing it for me. I didn't, but like, you're like 10 times more turned on. It was a quarter zip. It looked like a Patagonia, like nice wool, like.
Yeah.
And
I was like, frame anyone right? Maybe it was the shadows. I don't know. The way they've lit the scene. I don't know.
He's a hottie.
But I was kind of like, I was into it.
Oh my God. Sweater Paul. Sweaty Mike and Sweater Paul. Okay, I see why this show appealed to women across the nation. So next time we see Susan not with Hot Paul, Susan is at home putting some water on and the phone rings and Julie answers and she listens in and it's Julie and Zach talking about Dana. And I don't know why they have to keep talking about Dana, but Zach's like, you didn't tell your mom, right? Just checking again for the 15th time. And Julie's like, no. I just think it's annoying, but either way, that scene was there, so Susan knows about Dana.
Yeah.
That, and I think he says, killed my sister. And so Susan's like, what? And then the water goes off, and Zach's like, what's that? And Susan's like, fuck.
Classic Susan.
Yeah, so next time we see them, Julie's getting ready for the dance, and Susan is chaperoning all of a sudden, and Julie is like, Mom, you're fucking annoying. Lay off. And Susan's like, no big deal. Brie wanted me to volunteer. She's like, you can tell me anything, Julie. Like, anything. And Julie's like, what is up with you?
Yeah. Julie's like, well, you can talk to me like an adult. I took care of you while you were bedridden after your divorce. Like, we're good. Yeah. I paid bills.
I paid bills. I'm an adult. Like, I ran the household. This is cut with scenes of Zach getting ready with Paul, and Paul is tying the tie, which I keep getting concerned. I'm like, is he going to strangle his son? Paul is like, I don't know. Paul's not saying anything. Zach's going off. He's like, how can you uproot us? So many bad things happen, and I have somebody I can talk to with Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul is like, what have you been talking about, boy? Like, what have you been running your mouth about?
Yeah.
And, like, this is what I've been trying to talk to you about, is what Zach says. Since mom died, I've been remembering things about Dana, like blood, screaming, this and that. And Paul stops and is like, you told her that?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? And he said, well, yeah, I trust her. And Paul's like, did you tell her mom? And I'm like,
he's
okay.
Like, does Susan know? And he's like, I don't fucking know.
And then he's like, tell me everything, Zach. And then they're at the dance. Zach got her corsage and he's like, no one else has these, so I didn't know if you wanted to stand out. She's like, I like being different. And I'm like, it's kind of cute, but I'm getting concerned because Zach is like a toxic man, as I've said. I believe this in my
obsessive.
Heart. He's a toxic man. He is taking advantage of her in a lot of ways, even though he might love her. He's also going to be John level crazy plus 10 eventually. I feel that.
His mom shot herself. Like, he's got trauma.
Yeah, he's allowed to be a little dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so Susan is pouring punch, like, watching them. She's, like, missing the cup. Mm-hmm. And she sees Paul and is like, why is he here? They have this weird dichotomy going on.
So he, like, asks Susan to dance.
Weird.
And he tells her that, like, Zach killed Dana when he was, like, really little. And yeah. Dana was a baby and that they didn't even really know what happened. And Susan gets really emotional. Now, while they're dancing, Paul, like, puts his hand on her lower back.
Yeah, he, like, I didn't know if it was supposed to look aggressive, but they just looked like they were too close, like,
it
vibing.
It looked like he was, like, feeling up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I didn't
confused.
Get the vibe that it was, like, controlling. I was like, he's feeling her up.
I was very confused by that. I don't know if the touch was just any intimacy. I don't know. Maybe he – I don't know. I was really thrown off by that. I was like, what are we supposed to take away from this?
So he says, Marielle is never new, and I'd prefer that you don't talk about it. And, like, he feels her up. Mm-hmm. And then next thing we see is Paul and Zach walking out, and they're, like, having a moment. And he's like, did you have a good time? And Zach's like, yeah, I had a great time. Sorry that he talked to Julie. Promise he won't tell again. He's like, don't worry, I handled it. And Paul is like, we need a chat about what you remember. He's like, memories lie, you didn't kill anyone.
Yeah, like, what?
And Zach is like, no, my MO was the crazy killer.
Yeah, he's like, that was my dark, like, that was me. That was my whole identity.
Yeah, he's like, that was going to be my thing. Mm-hmm. Like, now it's not, because I didn't kill anybody. Dana's alive. And then they get home. Paul says, you must have a lot to digest. And Zach's like, I'm happy. I know the truth. I feel good. And one thing, though, I'm going to blackmail you.
Yeah, every episode, we got a little bit of blackmail.
He says, we're not moving because now I know what really happened. And fuck you, Paul. Fuck you, Dad.
Yeah, he basically, and he's so calm. Like, yeah. He's so chill about it. He's just like, we're not moving. And he's like, well, because now I know this information.
Yeah.
He likes the way he says it. So even Paul's kind of like, are you okay? Like,
yeah.
Are you?
Paul played himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how does Zach end up with all this power? We never saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Then Zach goes to Susan's house. Julie's in the shower. And he's like, we're not moving. And Susan's like, well, you can't see Julie anymore because, like, you just can't. Mm-hmm. And he, like, freaks out.
And it's just like, you made this really easy.
He, like, threw a table, kind
yeah.
of. He didn't, like, fully throw it. It had wheels, but he, like, swerved it. He moved it.
Yeah.
So she says, Julie's 14, and, like, they don't make the right decisions. And he's like, you're saying I'm not the right decision. So after he throws a table, she's like, you're forbidden from seeing her, which is, like, what Susan had been, like, wanting to say her entire life.
Yes.
Yeah. You're forbidden from seeing my daughter. It was very dramatic. He fondles the flower that he brought her and then just drops it on the floor.
Yeah.
He brought her a flower. And then we come to the end of the episode, and Mary Alice Young says, sooner or later, the time comes to become a responsible adult. John returns the ring to his family. We see that happening. We learn to give up what we want, to choose to do what's right. We see Gabby laying next to Carlos thinking of John. A lifetime of responsibility isn't always easy, and it's like Bree and Rex together. And then as the years go on, it's a burden that could be too heavy for some to bear. And there's Lynette, like, thinking about how Tom is probably fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about Rodney. We try to do what's best, and what is good not just for ourselves, but for those that we love. And Julie is like sneaking out of the room as Susan knocks on the door. Mm-hmm. And then Zach is like somewhere. I don't really know where they are.
I think it's like where the dance was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very Romeo and Juliet. Mm-hmm. And Julie's like, my mom says, I can't see you. What are we going to do? And he's like, I'm not sure. And they hug. They have a long hug. Dance.
I think they're swaying. I think it's supposed to be dancing.
Yeah. They're doing the little hug thing. And she says, sooner or later, we must all become responsible adults, and no one knows this better than the young.
Mm-hmm.
So we end there, and dang, there was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Even Lynette had a big storyline this week.
I really, it's a good episode. I liked it. Everything moved.
So maybe we should start with our fuck, marry, kill.
Oh, man. Do you want to go first this time?
I'm going to marry Helen.
Okay.
She is the only person making sense here. She is the only person.
She's the only one reacting the way, like, rationally.
I want a mom that reacts. I want a partner that would have the right response to this situation and not be like, weird. Oh, my God. She needs to divorce her husband, too. That guy's a weirdo.
He's probably fucking somebody else.
Such
based
a weirdo.
On what he was saying.
I hate him. Yeah. So I'd marry Helen. I would fuck Sweater Paul. Fuck Sweater Paul.
I'm going to do the same.
Only in the sweater. Yes. With a sun scotch. Yeah. Like, by the fireplace.
Absolutely.
And then I would kill... Ooh, this is a toughie. Because I didn't, like, outright... Rodney. No, I'd kill Rodney.
Yeah.
Lynette's stepfather-in-law, whatever it is. Yeah.
For sure.
He sucks.
I feel like we're going to align on our fuck, marry, kill this week.
You're like, I choose the exact same.
I mean, I definitely kill Rodney. I think that his whole outlook on his situation is like...
He is not the victim.
No, he's not the victim. And like, he needs to understand that he was scaring the fuck out of Lynette. Like, he was being so insensitive to the fact that his son is basically living the same lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, like, why would he say that shit?
Also, just fucking on your couch while you're away.
When she has four young kids.
She has a lot of rooms in the house.
And then, fuck Sweater Paul. I'm down for that, too. I don't know. The way they lit him, he was just looking so smug. I was like,
good, the smirk.
All right. And then Mary. Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to take a bit of a left turn on the Mary. I am going to marry Susan. While I think that she was overreactive, I did like when she was, like, mama bear mode. And, like, when Zach did act crazy, she was like, no, you just made this fucking easy. Get the fuck out. Like, I think that she, while I don't like that how she mothers Julie sometimes, I think that when she needs to, she steps up and is, like, a protective, like, good parent.
I think she is a good mom when she is fully there.
And I think she senses that, like, something is wrong with Zach. Like, she knew that beforehand. Yeah. And I think that even if she doesn't know what's wrong, she knows he's been through a lot of trauma. She knows that he was in a fucking psych ward. And, like, I'm sure everybody knew that he broke into Bree's house and, like, did all that shit. So it's kind of like, okay, like, I don't think she's completely off base to be, like, weary. And then, like, yeah, when he lashes out, like, she stands her ground. And, like, Zach's imposing. Like, she's a tiny, like, 100 pounds. Like,
she's
so tiny. But she fucking stands her ground, and I liked that. And I don't know. That's someone I would want to marry. Sure.
Okay, I respect it.
Yeah.
Housewife of the Week, do you have a nomination?
I feel like, I guess Susan. All the reasons I just kind of listed.
I would nominate Lynette because she kicked both her husband and her father-in-law out of the house.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to agree. Because I also like that Lynette... I like when Lynette speaks her mind. And I think she was very, like, on the money with, like, why she was offended. And, like, I think she was right to kick Ronnie out. Like, it's not even about the affair at this point. It's, like,
it's
my fucking children walking
too.
In.
He was rude as fuck to her.
He was disrespectful to her, and that is her house.
And, like, Tom was kind of rude, too. And she showed them who was boss. Yeah. I think that was a boss move, even though she let the back in.
Absolutely.
And then our Apple rating. The time has come.
Okay,
are you ready? Locked and loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 3, 2, 1,
4.75.
Whoa.
We're
even
close.
Higher.
I
thought
about
7.5.
I almost went 5. But I didn't. It's like close, but it wasn't quite there.
Yeah, it lacked something, and I don't know what it was.
I think it's we didn't get like any scenes of all the girls together.
Oh.
And Edie wasn't in this
episode. Edie wasn't in it. I was gonna say Edie, Mike was missing a bit. Yeah. And like Also, I don't think the theme, what even was the theme? It was just about, like, making choices, I guess. It's, like, more general, mm-hmm. which you can't, like, have a cool one every time. But it just wasn't as, like, the only other five we gave was for guilt.
Yeah.
And that was, like, more clear. Mm-hmm. But it was up there for me. I think, yeah, the missing was, like, all the girls together, a little bit of, like, debauchery with, like, Edie and Susan. There was some fun, but it just wasn't as fun as some others. It was missing a bit of fun.
A little bit of camp. I think it was close to a perfect episode. Like I said.
It was close.
But I really liked it. I think all the storylines, like, were good. I think that they all moved. Like, we got a lot of movement with the Paul Zach stuff. Like, yeah. We know for sure now he didn't kill a baby and that Dana's alive. Yeah. So we got that. I liked the Gabby. I like John coming back. I agree. Like, I liked those scenes.
You love me.
Yeah. No, it was fucking funny. I liked the storyline with, like, Tom's dad. I think it gave us more, like, of who Tom is. And, like, I like when
Tom.
Yeah,
I'm interested to learn. Like, we're left with a lot of mysteries. Yeah. Like, what's up with Tom?
Like, what did Tom do? Okay, if Dana's alive, who the fuck is Dana?
Yeah, also, Dana, body in the trunk? Dana? Question mark? Like, that? What
but
was
that? A grown person. It's not a...
He said, oh, yeah, he said Dana's alive.
Oh, Dana's alive, yeah.
Maybe not.
So who's the dead body then?
I don't know.
Left with a lot of mysteries.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess there's no mystery. I'm like, I mean, I'm interested in what happens with John.
Yeah, what's
Will
next?
Will he go to college?
Is Carlos going to go to jail? We kind of had one little throwaway scene with Carlos. That was it. He was just like in that opening and then she's like, all right, hustling. And yeah, like, anyway, with Bree, like she, I mean, we don't really know what's going on with George. Like we saw some, and he might be poisoning Rex now. I don't know. Like he's giving him the wrong medicine. So that is a lot of questions.
Okay, George, I need to know more about this motherfucker.
Yeah. I'm so concerned. Overall, I think it set us up for some really good stuff.
Yeah. I'm excited for where we're going to go and like high scoring episode. Mm-hmm. We've had some low ones.
I think it was better just because like a lot better, a step up from last week.
Yeah. We're only getting better.
Yeah.
But you can join us for episode 14 next week, next Monday. We drop every Monday. So we hope you enjoyed episode 13 and we hope you've watched all 13 episodes or a few or at least listened to all 13 of our episodes. Mm-hmm. We are always making content for you guys, mostly on Instagram, but we do live tweet once a week. Mm-hmm. You can check it out. If you are not on the socials or whatever, you can still subscribe, follow, like, what
we're
is it
on
called?
Every streaming platform. Yeah,
everywhere.
So whatever the term
rate
is.
And review. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
So hit us up.
Absolutely.
We have an email if you want to email us.
Yeah.
Like, do whatever you want.
We
want
to hear from you.
Yeah. We're excited that you're along for our ride. And we like to leave you with a piece of advice always from the ladies on the lane to know your neighbors.
Always know your neighbors.